G'day everyone, this is Benjamin, aka The Terrible Australian, and welcome to my third edition of my 2019 Melbourne International Film Festival audio reviews. For this installment, I will be reviewing the films Frankie, American Woman, In My Blood, and The Beach Bum. So let's get right into it. And first up, of course, is Frankie, which is the latest film from director Ira Sachs, which stars Isabelle Huppert, Brendan Gleeson, Marissa Tomei, and Greg Kinnear. And the plot summary for this film, which I am reading off the MIFF program guide, is as follows. After discovering that she has terminal cancer, Frankie, Isabelle Huppert, gathers up her nearest and dearest for a communal vacation in Portugal, accompanied by her current husband, her ex, her son, her friends, and various children. It's a last hurrah, but yet the muminate of life don't fade even when death lingers around the corner. Now, for the last couple of years, I've been following Ira Sachs's work, and it's only just occurred to me just recently that one of his earliest films that I've seen of his, which I didn't realize he directed until recently, was a film called Married Life, which starred Chris Cooper, Patricia Clarkson, Pierce Brosnan, and Rachel McAdams. So that was the first film I saw of his like years back, but it's only in the last couple of years I've seen more of his work at the Melbourne International Film Festival, because a lot of his films have been playing at the festival over the past couple of years. Particularly ones that I've seen include back in 2016 was a film called Little Men, which also starred Greg Kinnear, and also back in 2014, which was with a film called Love is Strange, starring John Lithgow and Alfred Molina, which was actually one of my favorite films of the festival that year. So ever since, but that was the film for me that made me really take notice of him as a filmmaker. So I decided from pretty much any time a film of his is coming out, whether it's going to be playing at a film festival or just in regular theaters, I'm going to put it on the docket to check it out. And when I found out that Frankie was going to be playing at the film festival, it was immediately going to be on my list for sure. Now, having seen the film, I have to say, I think his latest film is actually a really good little movie. And I also have to be honest about this. For about the first half of the film, I didn't really think much of it at first. And I kind of felt like, compared to the other films of his that I've seen, I almost was at the point that I felt like this was going to be like one of his, probably my least favorite of his films, and also his least interesting as well. Because for about, yeah, like I said, for the first half of the film, we kind of follow the character Frankie, played by Isabelle Huppert, and the sort of the various characters that she knows, you know, family and friends and all that, sort of coming to this small town in Portugal for a holiday. We sort of, during this first half, sort of get to know everyone and all of their stories and whatnot. And at first, I wasn't really sort of taken in by the film at first because of that. And especially because after reading the synopsis, I thought from the very beginning you would find out that Frankie's sick and everyone kind of knows. But what's interesting about the film, and this was what made me appreciate it more as the film went on, was that we don't even know that Frankie is sick at the very beginning of the film. And it's not until as the film sort of progresses along, we know more about her illness. And once that stuff sort of starts to be revealed as the film progresses, that's when the film started actually... That's when I started actually getting more involved with the film on an emotional level. And it's weird because for most of it, I was kind of felt at a distance at it. But then as, you know, as all this stuff is progressing along and we're starting, and sort of the meat of the story emerges, that's when the film started to hook me through. But it does it in a way that's in a very subtle way, and which I didn't, that it sort of slowly reeled me in to what was happening on screen. And I love it when a film does that, when you think you're not really sure if you like what you're watching or not at first, but then at a certain point it just hooks you in, but it does it in a way that sort of slowly ravels around you and then grabs a hold of you. This is what Frankie did to me. Like, I don't think that Frankie is my favorite of Ira Sachs's films, but it's still a really good one. And I found, like, even though for I can understand why some people would have problems with it, because I think compared to his other films, it's probably the least interesting. And it does, for most part, feel like at least the first half, and I kind of agree with the film critic who said this, this kind of felt almost like some of the films in the first half, like some of Woody Allen's later films, in terms of like you, if you have to be these big all-star casts in kind of this exotic location and kind of what happens to them while they're there. But I think for me, what makes Frankie work is that it's a quietly beautiful film and a very subtle film, and its beauty just sort of, like I said, grabs hold of you as it goes along. And by the end of it, I was very moved by the film, and I thought, especially the film's very final shot, which I thought was so beautifully done. I can see why some people would probably have a problem with that ending, because it does go on a little bit longer than expected, but I thought it was just so beautifully done, and that it, to me, it kind of made the film for me, because the film kind of was kind of leaning towards that ending, and for me, it earned it. And I thought it was just a beautiful final shot of the film, and really just, it's so nicely done. And also just like the performances from everyone were really good. I thought that everyone brought in a really good turn. But for me, at the end of the day, this is Isabelle Huppert's show. Like, she is a phenomenal actress. She's always great no matter what film she's in. And she just brings a beautiful, quiet dignity and power to this performance as Frankie, and she's just really good. And also, the film's quite funny as well, because there's a lot of little funny humor throughout it, so it's not entirely a downer, like, considering the premise it has. It's just a very nice, light film that does that does get you on an emotional level. And I appreciated the film for that. Like I said, it's not one of my favorites of Iris Axis films that I've seen so far, but it's a really solid one that is still beautifully made, and it's quite funny and quite touching as well. It's the definition of a very quiet film. It's not a film that's full of big dramatic moments or anything like that. It's a very just understated little film. And for me, that's just kind of what worked. And I think some people probably won't be on board for that, but it did for me. And I think when a film that sort of, you know, for most of it, I wasn't sure whether I was into it or not, and then by the end, it just completely had me. That to me is just a sign of a good, solid film. And this one did that for me. So if I had to give Frankie a rating, I'd give it a solid 3.5. Like I said, it's not one of my favorites of Iris Axis films, but it's a nice little, beautiful little film, nonetheless. Now, moving on to my next film, which is the drama American Woman, which is the latest film from director Jake Scott, which stars Sienna Miller, Christina Hendricks, and Aaron Paul. And the plot summary for this film is as follows. Deb Callahan was just 16 when she became a mother. Now, in her early 30s, she's a grandmother. Single, uneducated, and with questionable taste in men, Debbie is raising her teenage daughter Bridget and Bridget's infant son, with occasional help from Deb's disapproving but loving older sister Catherine. Life is tough, but for most part they are happy. But when Bridget suddenly vanishes without a trace, Deb's world is turned upside down. As the years pass, life goes on, but Deb keeps searching for the truth about her daughter's disappearance. One of the reasons why I decided to check out American Woman at MIFF this year was that from a couple of film critic friends of mine who saw the film, really raved about it and said it's a great film, and this is sort of like one of those quiet little sort of little gems that sort of every year we get and people kind of just don't really talk about as much compared to other films, but they highly recommend that everyone should check out. So just based on that word of mouth alone, I decided to put American Woman on the docket. But when I sort of looked more into it, I realized that this is a film that's fully stacked, not just in front of the camera, but behind it. I mean, in front of it, you got Sienna Miller, Christina Hendricks, Aaron Paul, and so many others. And also just behind the camera as well, because the film is directed by Jake Scott, who is the son of acclaimed Oscar-nominated director Ridley Scott, who coincidentally also was a producer on this film. And Jake Scott had, this is his third film, and his last film was Welcome to the Rileys, which came out 9 years ago. And this film was written by Brad Ingelsby. I probably butchered his last name, so forgive me. And he previously wrote a film that I really like, which I finally got around to finally watching recently, which was Out of the Furnace. So just based on those factors alone, I was very intrigued to check it out. But funnily enough, I didn't actually read the synopsis to this film before I went into it. I just sort of went into it just based on sort of the reactions I've been hearing. And I feel like that really worked for me on a number of levels, because I thought American Woman was a really good little film as well. Like, it's not perfect. Like, it does have some flaws here and there, but I think for most part, what makes it really work is that it's really compelling. It's well made. But for me, what really made this film was, of course, Sienna Miller, who I thought was absolutely phenomenal in this film. I've always stated for years that I've always found Sienna Miller a very underrated actress. I can see why some people have had problems with her over the years, but throughout a lot of the films I've seen, particularly in her lead roles, I always thought that she gave really great and very committed work. And to me, she always seemed like someone who wanted to be more as a character actor rather than, you know, a leading lady, so to speak. Because everything that I've seen, she just gives 110%. Like films like Factory Girl or Interview. Like, she is great in those films. And even, in my opinion, gave performances that were worthy of an Oscar nomination. Over the last couple of years, she kind of sort of went away a little bit, and then she came back, and she's been appearing in a lot of films over the years, but mostly in sort of supporting roles or kind of like a supportive wife or supportive girlfriend kind of roles. Most notably, American Sniper, which is probably her most highest profile movie role of the last few years. But she's been in a lot of stuff, and she always gives really strong committed role work, even if she's given a small role in a film. But for me, American Woman, though, like, her first kind of major lead role in quite a while, and like I said, she is just fantastic throughout this whole film. And she just, this, I feel like this is the film, like, if you're someone who's on the fence about Sienna Miller, I feel like this is the film that's going to turn you around on it. Because she, like, watching the film, I didn't see Sienna Miller, I saw the character of Deb, and for me, that is a sign of a great performance. When you don't see the actor playing the role, you see the character. And, like, Sienna Miller just does such a great job throughout this film. And this film sort of goes over the course of a couple of years, and we sort of see her character's journey from the very beginning, seeing this kind of, like, immature, kind of early 30-year-old woman. And then as the years go on, she starts to mature and grow as a character. And we kind of see all these different points in her life, like what she's going through in those moments, while at the same time trying to find out what happened to her daughter, Bridget. And for me, I just found her journey really compelling and quite moving as well. And Sienna Miller just does a great job. But she's not the only one. Like, Christina Hendricks and Aaron Paul also give equally strong performances as well. Amy Madigan's also great. And most surprisingly, Will Sasso, who I think a lot of people sort of know from his sketch comedy work, and as well as the film The Three Stooges, gives a pretty good dramatic performance here too as Christina Hendricks' husband. And he's really good as well. I just found it a really compelling film. And for me, the third act of the film, I'm not going to lie, it almost made me cry because it was so beautifully done and very moving. That being said, the film does have a couple of little problems that I feel like, for me personally, kind of stop it from being a truly great film, is the screenplay. I think that the film is well written for most part, but I think my problem with the film on that level is kind of how it's structured, because, like I said, we kind of sort of go through different stages of Deb's life over the course of a couple of years, and how it's structured feels more like vignettes. And a lot of the sort of stories that she gets caught up in are kind of, some of which are really compelling, but others kind of feel kind of cliched in how they're approached. Like, there's one example where There's one section of the film where she is dealing with an emotional and physically abusive boyfriend. And that kind of segment felt very kind of cliched to me. And I felt like that was kind of the weakest section of the film. But there are other parts that worked a lot better. And like some of the writing can be sort of very, like at least the structure anyway, can be very disjointed because of that. But there are some really well-written scenes. And also, sometimes the sort of thematic elements of the story do feel a bit heavy-handed at times as well. But for most part, but that being said, American Woman is still a really solid little movie. I really like this one a lot. And like Jake Scott did such a really good job directing wise. And even though I feel like the script can't, like I said before, has its problems, but it's still quite well written for what it is. But I feel like Jake Scott's direction and also the performances from the cast really sort of elevated the script to something even better. And of course, like I said, this film is definitely worth checking out for Sienna Miller's performance. She's fantastic, and it's a great performance that, for me, is a career-best turn. So if I had to give American Woman a rating, I give it a solid 3.5. Now, moving on to my third film, which, of course, is the documentary In My Blood, It Runs. And the plot summary for this film is as follows. 4 years after making Gaby Baby, Maya Newell crafts another powerful and essential portrait of Australian youth, putting the plight of the Northern Territory's Indigenous children in the spotlight. "I was born a little Aboriginal kid," explains Dijon. "That means I had a memory. A memory about being Aboriginal." Nothing more excited than he is talking about his heritage and homeland, the precocious 10-year-old has a strong connection to his culture, speaks 3 languages, and works as a healer. But he also has struggles with school, acts out in class, and attracts attention from the police and the welfare system. Intimate and impassioned, In My Blood follows Dijon's attempts to reconcile the traditions he holds dear with the colonized world he's forced to inhabit. A personal documentary told with a perceptive eye, poetic imagery, and made in collaboration with Dijon and his family. It's also an account of the NT's harsh treatment of Indigenous youths, a situation that's never far from the boy's mind. When I first heard about In My Blood, It Runs, I immediately knew I had to see this film, mainly because a couple of years back I saw Maya Newell's previous film, Gaby Baby, which I thought was a great little documentary that explored children of same-sex couples. And I thought that documentary was such a beautifully made and very insightful and compassionate documentary in the lives of its subjects. And with In My Blood, It Runs, I knew she would bring that sort of same mentality to this film with this story. And I have to say, she does it again. She made a really a wonderful and really compelling documentary that really highlights what's going on in this country with young Indigenous youths, and especially in the Northern Territory. And for me, this is a documentary that I feel like this is one that I feel like a lot of people need to see. And it's an essential viewing experience as well, because the subject matter that the film explores is very important. And the way that how Aboriginal children are treated in Australia can be really shocking sometimes. And particularly that these are the kids themselves who are very bright, very smart, and those who know so much of their own heritage, but when it comes to sort of the education system here in Australia, but by white Australians, they're treated rather shabbily. And to me, it's a very eye-opening experience as well. Like, I've always known about this stuff, but kind of getting to see this film through a very personal lens with Dijon, who's a very fascinating subject for this film, and he's a really compelling on-screen presence, and also his family as well. It sort of just brought that story home, and I feel like kind of seeing this whole situation through his eyes, who as the film sort of shows, like, Dijon is a very, like I said, a very bright kid. Like, he is such a compelling experience, and we can't help as an audience not get caught up into his story. Like, he, from the very beginning to the end, he is such a great little kid, and we care about what happens to him. And when we actually see him in situations where, like, when he talks about his culture and his heritage and him going out, like, with his friends and family, either on hunts or and all that, you can see how excited he is, and he knows so much about it. But when we put him in, but when we see him at in schools, like, it's complete opposite. Like, he has problems with everything, and you can kind of see how each different section deals with that. Like, how, you know, the teachers at the school kind of deal with his problems, kind of telling him that he needs to be this or needs to do that. But compared to, say, with his family and friends, it's a completely different story, and he sort of fully becomes more interested and more focused. But in school, it's a completely different matter, because, like, the, and when you kind of see why that is through the course of the film, because of how the Australian government and the Australian education system kind of how they treat Indigenous youths. And it's pretty powerful stuff. And for me, it's something that I, like I said before, this is a documentary I feel like every Australian needs to see, it for sure, because it shines a light on something that's happening in this country, and it's one that we have to talk about and find ways to fix it. So, and also try to sort of, and so that, you know, kids like Dijon can have a much better life in a lot of ways. And because, and that's what I think really sort of brought home the film for me, is just have, like I said, is having that personal viewpoint from him. Because, I mean, Manuel could have easily have just done a documentary just on the big subject alone, but having someone at the center of it who's going through those struggles really sort of brings them more home and makes us more emotionally invested in what's going on. And, yeah, like I said, this is, In My Blood is a really strong, really compelling follow-up to Gaby Baby, and one that I think everyone needs to check out. And if it does play in cinemas or it's on TV somewhere, definitely watch it. It is one that I feel that is definitely going to, hopefully, like, if we talk about what's happening, like, everything that's that is shown in the documentary more and discuss it and find ways to fix it, hopefully things will get better. So, In My Blood is a great doco. Definitely check it out. It is essential viewing, in my opinion. So, if I had to give In My Blood a rating, I'd give it a solid 4 out of 5. It's really good. It's really, really good. Now, moving on to my fourth and final film, which is the latest film from Harmony Korine, which, of course, is The Beach Bum, starring Matthew McConaughey, Snoop Dogg, Isla Fisher, Zac Efron, Martin Lawrence, and so many more. And the plot summary for this film is as follows. 7 years after Spring Breakers, Harmony Korine heads back to the beach, reteams with his cinematographer Benoit Deby, and serves up another slice of neon-hued debauchery, trading gun-toting college co-eds with bongo-playing, bong-smoking free spirit by the name of Moondog, Matthew McConaughey, in a role he was clearly born to play. Also starring Snoop Dogg, Zac Efron, Martin Lawrence, and Jimmy Buffett as himself, the beach bum charts an Antarctic, the misadventures of South Florida's least motivated wordsman. Moondog is happy hanging out on his boat, living off his wealthy wife, Isla Fisher, and toking away his days, until a combination of rehab, tragedy, and plain old reality force him to put his typewriter to work. Now, I haven't seen all of Harmony Korine's films. I did see his previous film, Spring Breakers, which is a film which I can totally get why a lot of people did not like that film, but I thought it was great, and that's a film that for me is destined to be a cult film. But I haven't seen his like earlier films that he directed, like Gummo or Julian Donkey Boy or Trash Humpers. I haven't seen those ones, but I've seen more of his later work. But I did see the film he did write, Kids. So I'm very much familiar with his work, but when I went into The Beach Mama, I'd sort of heard sort of mixed things about it as well, kind of like Spring Breakers. But from the sort of like what I've seen from it through trailers and whatnot, it seemed like, okay, it could be a fun, enjoyable little movie. And having now watched it, I have to say, I had an absolutely great time with The Beach Bum. I enjoyed every single minute of this film. Like, watching it, I can totally get people hating this movie, but I just fully immersed myself into the journey of Moondog and just went along for the ride. And I had so much fun watching it. It is a very meandering film and very aimless one as well. Like, there is a plot, but it's a very thin plot. But I feel like it works. And for me, what really sort of made the film was that it's really well directed by Harmony Korine. Like, the cinematography by Benoit Deby, who also shot Climax, which is a film I saw last year, and as well as Spring Breakers, is so beautiful and vibrant and such... It's a very neon-soaked film. So this movie would make a great double feature with Spring Breakers, but I feel like with Spring Breakers, that's a very sort of pessimistic and nihilistic kind of film, while The Beach Bum is definitely much more sort of optimistic. So they're kind of like the two sides of the same... You know, they're kind of like the yin and the yang to each other in a lot of ways. But I think I enjoyed The Beach Bum a lot more. Like, I feel like Spring Breakers is definitely a bit more plot-heavy, but this one I kind of had a lot more fun with. And for me, what really made this film was, of course, Matthew McConaughey's performance as Moondog. And for me, this is probably, without a doubt, the most Matthew McConaughey performance that McConaughey himself has ever committed to the screen, and he is just an absolute ball. He is hilarious, and half the time I don't know if he's actually playing the character or is he basically kind of playing a version of himself, but for me, he was an absolute joy to watch. And also the supporting cast were all a lot of fun, like Snoop Dogg, Isla Fisher, and Jimmy Buffett, even Jonah Hill, who pops up as well, are all really good. But for me, the surprise performance of the supporting cast I really liked was Martin Lawrence. And anyone who knows me knows I am not a fan of Martin Lawrence. I find him absolutely irritating as both as an actor and a comedian. But surprisingly, this film kind of turned me around on him a little bit, and I thought he was actually really hilarious here. And also Zac Efron, who's some people are still kind of hit and miss with, but I've always enjoyed Zac Efron, and I always felt like over the last couple of years, he's really grown as an actor, and I thought he was great here as well, and I just really enjoyed this film a lot. Like I said, it does have its problems. Like, the plot is rather meandering and aimless, and just, it does feel like it's kind of just going from one scene to another. But I just had a ball with it, and it just made me laugh so much. I don't know if this is some... I don't know whether it's because with the crowd I saw, if they were equally into it as well, and I sort of found it more fun because of it. Because I'm kind of interested to see what I would have been like if I watched this film, say, by myself at the cinema, or even or watch it at home. Like, would my experience of it be different? But that being said, though, like, regardless, I had a great time with The Beach Bum. It's definitely one of my favorites of what I've seen at MIFF 2019. And I think if you enjoyed Spring Breakers, definitely check this one out. Because, like I said, while Spring Breakers is definitely a pessimistic film, this is definitely a more optimistic film. And it's just a lot of fun. And I think if you get on its wavelength, then you'll definitely enjoy it as well. So if I had to give The Beach Bum a rating, I'd give it a solid 4.5 out of 5. I really enjoyed this one a lot. So yep, that's it. That's the end of this third edition of my 2019 Melbourne International Film Festival audio reviews. I hope you guys all enjoyed it. And keep a lookout very soon for my fourth edition, in which I'll be reviewing the films Over the Rainbow, The Peanut Butter Falcon, The Dead Don't Die, and Young Ahmed. So keep a lookout for that, and I'll see you all later. See you, everyone. Bye.